These readings that we had today are so familiar to most of us. It's a new command that Jesus gives us at the Last Supper. Love one another as I have loved you. But why a command to love? Isn't this the most natural thing for humans? In a sense, it is. But in this sense, it's based on our emotions or feelings. And these emotions and feelings can run hot or cold. The love Jesus speaks of is a deeper love. It's a decision of the will. The emotional love, or eros, is often the beginning, but the lasting love is agape. This is the love Jesus commands. We cannot choose whom we might like or dislike, but we can always choose to love, even in the darkest moments of our lives. St. Paul and Barnabas know what this love is. They've been sent on this missionary journey to bring Christ and the gospel, the good news, to the Gentiles. It wasn't an easy journey. They were accepted by many, but they were just rejected by just as many. But they loved them all. Reading of their journey, we can follow them on a map, how they made this so many disciples, but their persecutions as well. They were flogged. Paul was stoned almost to death at one time. He was left for dead. They faced so many natural disasters, shipwreck, being bitten by snakes. And at the end of the journey, it would have been so easy to go back home to Antioch, just a short journey across land from where they were. But instead, they retrace their steps. They go back to the communities that they had founded churches in. They went back to Lystra, where Paul had been stoned. They appoint leaders in all of the communities. Many of the people that they had preached to were probably easy to love. But there were others that were opposed to them, even to the point of violence. And Paul and Barnabas loved them as well, bringing the good news to all. It's in times of difficulties that we need to recall Jesus' words, love one another as I have loved you. These words of Jesus were given at the Last Supper, right after Judas left the group. Jesus knows the suffering he's going to be experiencing in just a few hours' time. His disciples will be tested. They will see him scourged. They will see him crucified. And he tells them how they are to respond. Love your neighbor. And then he will show them how to respond. His total offering of himself to his last drop of blood. His willingness to offer himself. This is our definition of love. A love that we are called to imitate. A new command I give you. These are strong words from Christ. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not something that might be nice for us to do. It's what we are called to do. With those that we like, with those that we find it easy to do, but also with those that we don't like so much, even with our enemies. Following the command of Christ, following his example, following Paul's example, loving others, making demands upon ourselves to go beyond what we may like, to go beyond our comfort zones and truly desire the good of the other. This is not something that is just nice in theory. It's something that is demanding in our daily existence. St. Paul tells us it is necessary for us to undergo many hardships to enter into the kingdom of God. The famous Russian author Dostoevsky puts it this way: love in action is a harsh and dreadful thing compared to love in dreams. And for Mother Teresa, it was just as personal. It's the story of a man who had visited her in Calcutta, spending a whole day with her sisters. And he finishes the day and he went to Mother Teresa and he says, "Mother, I wouldn't do what you do for $1 million. Mother looks at him and says, "Neither would I." That is love. It is the love of those in our own families. It is the love of those in our towns. It is the love of those in our parish. Hey, it's even the love of those up at St. John's or down at St. Gabe's, wherever your particular point of view. And I can't wait until these things are a thing of the past so I don't have to keep mentioning them. But I will mention them as long as that ugly head continues to rise up. There is still healing to be done. This is when agape has to overcome eros. Do you remember the Amish shooting in Pennsylvania in 2006? And what the families of those little girls did? They just lost family members. And they went to the home of the one who had perpetuated the crime. And they forgave. That is a modern example of agape overcoming eros. When terrorists attack anywhere in the world, to pray for their souls, anytime it is difficult to love, from across the globe to the person sitting right next to me, to my spouse, to my children, love one another as I have loved you. When we can love like this, we will be truly worthy of the name Christian, not in our dreams, but in action. This new commandment is the foundational stone of the new heavens and the new earth, the project that will not be completed until Christ returns, but we can get started. The small everyday sacrifices of a parent getting up in the middle of the night so that they take care of their child, or a spouse getting up in the middle of the night so their spouse doesn't have to. Forgiving the person that just cut you off in the roundabout. Forgiving the person who's driving 54 miles an hour and there's no way to get around them all the way to La Crosse. Being patient at the wheel. Writing that note. Visiting the nursing home. Whatever it might be, whether it is with our immediate family or whether it is with someone that we don't even know, offering up prayers and sacrifices. Every one of us has opportunities each and every day, at every moment, to listen to Christ's command, love one another as I have loved you. And in this year of mercy, to receive His love, to become an instrument of His mercy to a world that is so rich materially, a world that is starving spiritually.